You're listening to SBS News.
1999, the end of a century and the start of a new millennium. Treasurer Peter Costello revealing how he spent his New Year's Eve waiting to see if the feared Y2K bug would bite.
The 1st of January would hit Australia first before it hit Europe and America. And I was getting reports from midnight on. All quiet. Still all quiet. We've made it.
As the world watched Vladimir Putin become Russia's acting president and US President Bill Clinton's impeachment and acquittal, Australian politics was dominated by debate about the government's controversial goods and services tax. The coalition took its plan for tax reform to the 1998 election and narrowly won, despite Prime Minister John Howard promising that the coalition would never ever introduce a GST.
There's no way that GST will ever be part of our policy.
Never, ever.
Never, ever. It's dead. It was killed by the voters in the last election.
2 decades on, the former treasurer says those two words were the biggest hurdle the coalition faced in implementing the largest tax reforms in Australian history.
In my view, it had to be done in Australia, and it would always keep popping its head up until it was done. There's only one way to get rid of this issue, was to do it. Now, what really boxed us in was Howard had pledged there would never ever be a GST, and so the trick in 1997, 1998 was to get around that never ever phrase, and he and I had come to an agreement that whatever the wisdom of saying never ever in the first place was, we would never ever say never ever again.
Peter Costello concedes voters and his own cabinet colleagues needed convincing. Reams of documents released today by the National Archives show the Treasurer led 9 marathon cabinet meetings in 4 weeks, successfully convincing the government to approve 26 pages of decisions enabling wholesale tax reform.
PowerPoint had just been invented. So I became the government's PowerPoint expert. And I would come into the cabinet with my PowerPoint, which I thought was very modern, and go chick, 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 chick. And it would all sort of do up there. And I remember coming out of that cabinet meeting after 7 hours, and I said to one of my senior colleagues, "What do you think? You reckon it's a goer?" And the colleague said, "Don't know, but I like the colours."
It was also a period of change in Australian foreign policy in Southeast Asia, after Indonesian President Suharto was replaced by B.J. Habibie. The Howard government was a vocal supporter of a referendum that would ultimately deliver independence to East Timor.
The East Timorese people themselves deserved independence. They were entitled to it, and they should have been awarded it a lot earlier than in the 2000s. I don't think Australia would have felt confident about doing that if the political situation in Indonesia hadn't changed. I think Australia was changing its relationship with Asia at this point. I think before the Asian financial crisis, we'd felt we were the weak man in Asia. After it, I think we felt we were the strong man in Asia. And that we could be a regional leader, and we were. And it was an Australian-led force, the INTERFET force, that secured the situation in East Timor.
Cabinet historian Paul Strangio says the cabinet papers also detail how Australia pre-positioned troops to the Gulf as part of a coalition designed to counter Iraq's development of weapons of mass destruction, 4 years before Australia would join in the invasion, which toppled Iraqi President Saddam Hussein.
What you sense is that in the National Security Committee, a deep-seated scepticism about the validity and the sincerity of the Iraqi regime's commitment to meeting its obligations in terms of inspections and elimination of weapons of mass destruction. So Australia is deeply sceptical about Iraq, and so they're exactly right. There's a sense that this is a rehearsal of events that are coming down the track.
Cabinet signing off on John Howard personally drafting the proposed preamble to the Constitution, which was eventually defeated in the 1999 Republic referendum. Drafts controversially included the term mateship and referred to Indigenous Australians as the nation's first occupants rather than owners. Paul Strangio explains the coalition was worried about involving the public.
Cabinet had reflected on whether there should be a broader public consultation about the drafting of preamble, and the recommendation is no, because any wording that comes out of it could be a divisive process, but also will end up with a form of words that this government isn't comfortable with.
What do you think they meant by that when they said form of words?
This is one of those moments where reading these cabinet documents, you need the broader context. And for example, we know that John Howard was uncomfortable with certain things about, apologies to Indigenous Australians, what it might say about, the custodianship of Australia by Indigenous Australians. So that it might be, to put it in parlance, a politically correct form of wording. The decision is, therefore, that the government will keep this in-house.
Ministers correctly predicted Australia's generous Kyoto Protocol concessions would anger neighbours in the Pacific and the European Union. They also voted against a formal population plan and national suicide strategy as a result of extensive budget cuts designed to protect the coalition's slender surplus. Peter Costello confirming a major motivation for the introduction of charges to some electronic travel authorities, or ETAs, for visitors was to recuperate the growing cost of policing Australia's borders.
We were fighting any proposals for new spending because although the budget was in surplus, it was a tiny little surplus. And in fact, with East Timor, we thought we could only afford it at one point by having a levy. As it turned out, we abolished the levy before it came in, which was a good move, but there are many other ways in which the government was doing its best to raise money.
The former treasurer says he takes pride in the fact the GST has endured unchanged and is now endorsed by both sides of politics. Questions about his own ambition to be Prime Minister endure too.
Do you miss politics?
Oh, I don't miss politics. No, I don't.
The other half of my question was, do you miss politics and do you regret not challenging for the leadership?
No, I'm not one of those sorts of people that looks back. But gee, it was a hard thing to do. Wow. I wouldn't wish it on anybody.
Brett Mason, SBS News.